Welcome to the PiTech Solutions Podcast, where we bring you the latest in news and trends shaping the future of technology in regulated industries. I'm Mike, and as always, I'm joined by Laura. Laura, this week we're turning to capital markets, and the last few weeks have given us a lot to work with.
They really have, Mike. And what strikes me about this moment is that we're watching two very different clocks run at the same time. There's the innovation clock, which is moving faster than almost anyone predicted. And then there's the readiness clock, which is where most firms are quietly falling behind.
That's a good frame. Let's start with the innovation clock, because in July, something happened that people have been talking about for the better part of a decade. The Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation moved tokenized securities into live trading.
Live trading, not a pilot, not a sandbox, not a white paper. Actual production trades in tokenized stocks, exchange-traded funds, and United States treasuries. This is the plumbing of American capital markets, and it just went on chain.
Let's give listeners the shape of it. DTCC started with a limited production rollout in July of 2026, with full service integration targeted for October. And the eligible asset set is deliberately conservative. Russell 1000 equities, major index funds, and United States Treasury bills.
That conservatism is the story, Mike. They didn't pick exotic assets. They pick the most liquid, most heavily traded instruments in the market. Because the point isn't to prove tokenization is exciting. The point is to prove it's safe.
And the participant list tells you how seriously the industry is taking it. DTCC convened an industry working group of more than 50 firms. Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, BlackRock, Circle, Ondo Finance. That is not a fringe coalition.
That's the establishment. And for scale, the total tokenized real-world asset market is now sitting around $33.8 billion. BlackRock's tokenized treasury fund alone has crossed $2 billion across multiple blockchain networks.
Meaningful, but still small relative to what these firms manage. So the honest read is that the infrastructure is real and the volumes are early.
And that gap is exactly where the regulator stepped in. Because none of this happens without the Securities and Exchange Commission getting comfortable first.
Let's talk about that. On January 28th of 2026, the SEC staff issued a joint statement on tokenized securities, and the headline message was almost anticlimactic in the best possible way.
The message was that tokenization doesn't change what something is. If it was a security before you put it on a blockchain, it is still a security afterward. The wrapper changed, the obligations did not.
Which sounds obvious, but it settled an enormous amount of ambiguity. Legal departments could finally give an answer.
And Chairman Paul Atkins has since laid out an agenda for the rest of 2026 focused on three things: crypto capital raising, digital asset custody, and on-chain trading of tokenized securities. There's also a proposal circulating called Regulation Crypto.
Now, a note of realism for our executive listeners. The full rulemaking cycle between the SEC and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission could take up to 18 months, with the main rules likely effective in late 2026 or into 2027.
So my strategic guidance would be this. Don't wait for the final rule to start building. The direction of travel is clear enough to design against. Firms that begin custody and settlement architecture work now will be ready. Firms that wait for perfect clarity will be attempting an 18-month build inside a 6-month window.
Well said. Let's move to the second story, which is artificial intelligence crossing from pilot into production.
This is the one I think gets underestimated, Mike, because the narrative for 2 years was that banks and asset managers were experimenting. That era is over. In May of 2026, Broadridge put agentic AI capabilities into live production across capital markets and wealth management workflows.
Define agentic for people, because the term gets thrown around loosely.
Fair. Agentic means the software isn't waiting for a prompt. It autonomously analyzes, prioritizes, and resolves operational exceptions without constant human instruction. A trade breaks, the system investigates it, determines what happened, and resolves it.
And the number attached to that is what gets a chief financial officer's attention. New clients are being told they can achieve up to 30% day one operational cost reduction.
Day one, not year three. That is a fundamentally different conversation than the AI pilots of 2024, where the return was always somewhere over the horizon.
The adoption data backs it up. A survey from Substantive Research and Aiera, covering 35 of the largest global asset managers, found that 77% now have organization-wide deployments of generative AI platforms in place.
Organization-wide, not a team, not a lab, and a separate SimCorp report found 70% of buy-side firms actively deploying AI solutions.
But here's the number that should keep executives up at night. That same report found 63% of firms still lack unified data across their front, middle, and back offices.
And Mike, that is the whole ballgame. You cannot run an autonomous agent across a fragmented data estate. The agent will confidently make decisions on incomplete information, and it will do it at machine speed.
It's the classic pattern in regulated industries. The technology arrives before the foundation is ready, and the gap between the two is where the risk lives.
Which is why my recommendation to any C-suite listening is unglamorous but essential. Before you fund another AI use case, fund the data unification work underneath it. That is the real constraint. It is not the model.
There's more evidence of genuine adoption and execution, too. AlgoWheel adoption among buy-side firms reached 42% in 2026, up from 33% in the prior cycle.
Which matters because the AlgoWheel is the rail an agentic execution layer would eventually run on. That plumbing is being installed right now, quietly.
And in fixed income specifically, Coalition Greenwich interviewed 57 buy-side traders and portfolio managers in the first quarter of 2026. 65% said the biggest impact is data analysis. 47% said document review.
Notice what is not on that list. Nobody said the AI is picking my trades. The value today is in comprehension, not decision-making, and that's an important distinction for anyone setting expectations with a board.
Although the line is starting to blur, JP Morgan has been testing AI-powered investing agents that shift between stocks and bonds depending on market conditions.
Testing, and that word is doing a lot of work. But it points us to the third story, which is the most intellectually interesting thing happening in this market.
The crowding problem.
The crowding problem. Bloomberg ran a piece on July 1st of 2026, laying out a concern researchers have been circling for a while. If everyone deploys similar AI models, reading similar data, reaching similar conclusions, what happens to alpha?
And the finding is striking. Research suggests a profitable trading signal could now lose half its excess return in roughly 18 months. Before AI became widespread, that same decay took 5 to 7 years.
Let that sit for a second. The half-life of a trading edge compressed by a factor of 4?
And this isn't theoretical. Researchers at New York University studied nearly 1 million institutional fund holdings and found portfolios have become measurably more similar as AI adoption spread. The effect was most pronounced at the firms using the technology most heavily.
Which produces a genuinely uncomfortable paradox. Adopting AI is necessary to stay competitive, but the more everyone adopts it, the less advantage any individual adopter actually gets.
So how should a chief investment officer think about that?
I'd say the edge stops being the model and starts being everything around the model. Proprietary data nobody else has. Unusual questions nobody else is asking. And the discipline to size positions knowing the exit door is more crowded than it looks.
There's a risk management dimension too. The same body of research flagged that these models can systematically take more risk than intended and can be manipulated through the information they consume.
Which for regulated firms means your AI governance framework is not a compliance checkbox. It is a risk control. Model manipulation is an attack surface now.
Let's close with the fourth story, which is the least glamorous and possibly the most urgent, because it has a hard date attached. T+1 in the United Kingdom and Europe.
The go live is October 11th of 2027, when UK and European markets shorten the standard settlement cycle, bringing them in line with the United States, Canada, and parts of Asia.
But 2027 is not the date that should be on the executive calendar, is it?
It is not. There's an interim deadline that's much closer. By December 31st of 2026, trade allocations and confirmations between buy-side firms and executing brokers need to be completed on trade date. No later than 11 p.m. in Europe and 11:59 p.m. in the United Kingdom.
Which is 5 months from now.
5 months. And what it really means is the end of next-day confirmation as an operating practice. Any workflow that depends on a person reconciling something the following morning has to be redesigned.
And the roadmap is phased. 2026 is the readiness year, with industry-wide testing in 2027 before go-live.
And the European Securities and Markets Authority has been specific about what's required. Enhanced automation, extended operating hours for central securities depositories, improve trade confirmation processes, and better coordination across what is still a very fragmented European infrastructure.
That fragmentation point is critical. The United States had one market moving together. Europe has the European Union, the United Kingdom, and Switzerland all coordinating at once.
A harder problem, and it's exactly why the interim deadline exists. They are forcing the behavioral change a year early so the technical change has a chance of working.
Laura, if you had to give our listeners one connecting thread across all four of these stories, what would it be?
Automation is no longer optional, and the deadlines are now external. For years, firms could set their own pace on modernization. Tokenization, agentic AI, and T+1 all remove that discretion. The market and the regulators are setting the clock now.
And the firms that struggle won't be the ones that lack technology. They'll be the ones that never fix their data foundation.
That's exactly right. 63% of firms lacking unified data is not an AI problem. It's the reason all three of these shifts will be harder than they need to be.
A good place to leave it. Laura, thank you.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you for joining us today. To learn more about PyTech solutions, visit our website at pytechsol.com. Thanks, and have a great day.